Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, it's Retro Aotema Friday. Welcome to the 13th episode, unlucky for some, of As It Occurs to Me, Series 2, Episode 3. We're at now, my fine friends. You'll see in this one, oh my goodness, you're going to be excited. It's the birth of Tamdielo, where's my bookcase? Even I remember that, and rather charmingly, Emma Kennedy is excited about having a new iPad. Imagine how things have changed in this crazy world. If you're enjoying these, thanks for listening. That is giving us some ad revenue, which we are distributing to the cast and the Just Giving Heckle the Virus campaign. If you want to support us more, you can become a badger at gofasterstripe.com/badges and get all kinds of lovely extras. If you want to see what's going on in the world of Richard Herring right now, go to twitch.tv/rkherring to see me stone clearing, playing snooker, doing live rehearsals, and also occasionally commentating on films and videos like I was the director of them or something. But anyway, now let's sit back, relax, and enjoy Retro AI Otama with Tiny Andrew Collings and Tamdiel.
As it occurs to me, as it occurs to me, as it occurs to me.
And please welcome the man it's all occurred to, Tiny Andrew Collings.
Hello, 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 yes, right. It's me, Tiny Andrew Collings, sort of hot chick.
Hooray, look, it's Tiny Andrew Collings.
I love him. Oh, he must be presenting it this week. Brilliant. He's my favourite broadcaster slash writer slash commentator on things that happened in 1983. OK. Oh, come on now. Settle down. Shush. There, you people in the crowd saying those things. Now, come on. Now, because Richard might be listening, you know, and we all know he's the best. Aside, he isn't. Shit. You know, anywho, welcome to yet another programme in the series that some of the boss youngsters referred to as AI Otama, AI Otama, AI Otama, that's right, yeah. It really is one of the best podcasts going. Aside, it isn't. It's one of the worst podcasts going. It hasn't even got a Bronze Sony Award because it is rubbish. Anyway, you might be wondering what I, Tiny Andrew Collins, am doing here this week, and where is Richard Herring? Well, you know, he's a bit tied up at the moment, and I should know. I'm the one who tied him. Hey, yeah, it's just one of my jokes. No, that went well. I'll have to give it a tick in my stand-up comedy notebook. I'm doing stand-up comedy now, yeah? Like Limbit Opic. And not just because we both have ridiculous chins. Only a half a tick for that one. Now, seriously though, Richard cannot be here with us tonight. Aside. No, not ah. Hooray. If you were listening to my and the Andrew Collins show on Six Music this weekend, then you will know that my sidekick on the programme, Richard Herring, said a very rude word live on the radio. The shameful word that he said was piss. I know, it's a fucking disgrace. And as a result of this outburst, Richard has been banned from broadcasting on any medium for the next 7 days. But we couldn't let the fans of AI Autumn, down, so I am taking the helm. I've written stand-up and sketches about all the funny things that have happened to me in the Mitfords and that I have noticed in the last 7 days, and we're putting it out unedited on the internet. For example, I noticed that the iPad came out this week. Did anyone else notice that? What's that all about? The laughter of recognition. We've all been there, haven't we, ladies and gentlemen and men and lads? Okay, might need some more work on that one. Anyway, to help me along with my making my crazy loony ideas a reality, will you please welcome the cast, who are all brilliant, aside apart from Dan Tetzel, who is shit. It's TV's Emma Kennedy, Dan Tetzel, aside twat, and on the guitar, Christian Riley.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Emma.
Hello.
Yeah, do you remember me interviewing you on my Six Music show, which is mine and which I am the star of and which is brilliant, and where I wasn't just sitting in for a pregnant DJ that I'd artificially inseminated earlier?
Yes, Andrew, good. Yes, I do. We were meant to be talking about my book, the Bucket of Me, W.H. Smith's, you know, Book of the Month, you spent the whole time talking about Richard and his book. How much you loved him. Asking whether I thought he preferred working with you or Stuart Lee.
No, I didn't, Emma. You are funny. No. But do you think he prefers working with me to Stuart, though? Do you? Tell me what you think.
Stop booming at me, Tiny Andrew Collins. You're hurting me.
You useless fucking horse. And hello to Dan Tetzel. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Mr. Collins, to you.
Right, when's Richard coming back?
Oh, shut up about Richard. He's gone. He's a dead man. We don't need him. So, Dan Tetzel, have you been up to anything amusing this week? Having listened to every episode of this show 100 times, I think it's perfectly clear that you won't have done. You are only funny when you're being other people. Except when you're being me, because your impression of me is wildly inaccurate!
It's always funny you should ask that, Andrew. I've had a couple of odd, you know, the last couple of weeks. There's adverts of...
Yeah, really?
Yeah, adverts of... Can I interrupt?
No, it's my show. I'm interrupted as much as I like. Oh, finish your story.
Right, well, adverts have gone up around London.
Oh, yeah. Is it the three adverts?
Yeah, the three adverts.
I think you're very good at them.
But it's not me. There is poster adverts that...
Yeah, this isn't going well, is it? Should we move on?
Yes, let's.
So, hello, Christian.
Hello.
Hello, yeah. You play the guitar, don't you? And I play the drums. Would you like to form a band with me?
Any time, whatever. As long as I get paid almost £85 and 12p. And I get free beer at the end, I will do anything I am told.
Well, that's good to know. Now, I am in charge. It is regime change and I've gone literally mad with power. Don't worry, cast. All your jobs are secure. Aside, they're not. I'm going to sack you all as soon as I can so I can play all the characters myself, like Eddie Murphy. He is my favourite comedian. The show is now called As It Occurs to Tiny Andrew Collins. Or, as all the giant bunnies, wicked, are calling it AI Optac. AI Optac! I will work on it. Do the sting, Christian.
As it occurs to Tiny Andrew Collins, with a host whose face is shaped exactly like a bee, and whose voice voice is exactly like Mr. Bean. And whose face is exactly like Mr. Bean. Crossed with Mark Steele and a bean. It's the most brilliant podcast there has ever, ever been. Aside, no, it's not. It's even shitter than normal, to be honest. Bean.
What did you say at the end there? I couldn't hear it for some reason.
Nothing. Aside, I said you were shit.
I suspect that I've been hoisted with my own petard. Aside, yes, I have. I agree with what I just said. So, anyway, what has been occurring in my oat milk-based world of minor celebrity and ruthless ambition this week? Well, I was interviewing my old mate, Graham Linehan, this week, and I have quite an amusing story about him and a cheeseburger that I would love to pass off as my own story.
What's going on here?
Ah, oh, Richard Herring, don't let him through. He is not allowed on the podcast.
Yes, I am.
You are not, because you've said piss, so you are banned. Anyone who says piss is banned.
Well, you just said piss, so you're banned.
Damn, oh, no, because I was quoting you. You said piss, and I was just saying that you said piss, so it wasn't me saying piss. So I can still broadcast, you cocksucking wang vagina.
The piss isn't offensive. In the same show, I talked about travelling back in time and having sex with your mum just after she'd given birth to you. That's more offensive than saying piss.
Stop saying piss. It isn't. No, come on, because piss is on the BBC list. Travelling back in time and having sex with a woman who's just given birth is not on the list, so cannot be judged offensive.
That's just stupid. I haven't been banned anyway, that's rubbish. In a plot somewhat reminiscent of the film King of Comedy, unfunny and deluded wannabe comedian Tiny Andrew Collins kidnapped me, successful comedian, so he could present my brilliant show. And in a plot also similar to the film King of Comedy, Andrew left me guarded by his mum, who taped me to a chair and did all sexy dancing for me in her bra and pants. And who I tricked into untying me by saying I would make love to her as she wished. But in a twist, unlike the film The King of Comedy, once I was free, instead of punching her in the face like Jerry Lewis did, I actually fucked her.
Oh.
That's right, Andrew. I fucked your mum.
You fucked my mum?
Yes, I did. With a wrinkled old Andrew Collins face. And I imagined it was you when I was fucking her.
Well, it's still not as offensive as saying piss. It's not on the BBC list.
No, if you were going to steal the plot of a film, couldn't you have chosen something more current like Sex in the City 2 or Space Chimps 2? Interesting, the main characters in both those films are played by the same actors.
No, I couldn't, because I only like things from 1983, and King of Comedy was released in 1983. Check Wikipedia, if you don't believe me. Therefore, King of Comedy is a brilliant film to pay homage to.
So, if, as it occurs to me, AI Otter
is
doing King of Comedy, cock... I suppose, Andrew, that would make you Rupert Cumpkin.
It's Dumpkins now, Grandad.
That was a much better joke than you gave it credit for. Anyway, I'm back.
It really wasn't.
Anyway, I'll take my show back if you so please.
Oh, I'd have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you pesky meddling cunts.
That is on the list of forbidden words, actually.
No.
You're banned from broadcasting for a week.
God damn it. I will be back. And 1 week, it will become AIOTAC. AIOTAC.
Don't join in with that. That is never going to happen.
It will.
It won't, Andrew, because I write this show, including everything you say, and I'll make sure that that never happens.
I will become self-aware and write my own lines. You will see.
You know I wrote that line for you.
Yeah, I do, yeah. But even so, just please let me present the podcast. I just want to present the podcast. Please let me...
No! There he goes, Tiny Andrew Collins, off to prison for kidnap. The fictional character, Tiny Andrew Collins, who will never become self-aware. And look, we're already on page 8 of the script. Quite a result. I was genuinely considering writing a whole show without me in it this week, but maybe another time. Disappointing, though, to see it ticked along quite well without me.
As it occurs to me, whatever Richard Herring says, it's clearly the Tiny Andrew Collins show these days.
Shut up. We've wasted enough time already. Well, not quite enough. about another 35 minutes should see us through. Let's see what has occurred to me this week.
Friday.
I was delighted to hear that John Prescott has been made a peer. Gordon Brown gets a vote. Gordon Brown calls a voter a bigot and ends up losing his job, whilst Prescott punched a member of the electorate in the face and he got made a lord. In further proof that everyone hates Gordon Brown, Sue, the woman made famous when Gordon Brown blamed her for fixing up the meeting with the Rochdale bigot.
Whose idea was it for me to talk to that woman? Was it Sue? Was it Sue's idea? I hate Sue. Sue's a fucking bitch.
Yes, her, that one. Sue, she has been granted a peerage as well, presumably for her services to being blamed for things she clearly had nothing to do with. Sue is, in fact, the 21st century equivalent of the naughty dog that I mentioned in Series 1. So let's all stop blaming that naughty dog and start blaming Sue, at least until the naughty dog gets a peerage.
Friday.
Stephen Griffiths was charged with the murder of three women in Bradford. I know it's innocent until proven guilty, but if someone is asked in court for their name and says they're the crossbow cannibal, then are we allowed to prejudge them a little bit? I have to say, I felt a bit sorry for Stephen Griffiths' defence lawyer.
Please state your name for the court.
The crossbow cannibal.
Oh, I specifically told him to not say he was the crossbow cannibal. We went over and over. He's making my job very difficult.
Saturday.
It seems that Lord Charles has taken the death of Ray Allen very badly. He's just been sitting in a corner, staring at the wall. His mouth agape, saying nothing. No, he won't speak to anyone. But it might be nothing to do with Alan's death, as 12th funniest comedian ever, Stuart Lee, did pay Lord Charles a visit the minute he heard he was alone and vulnerable. For some unknown reason. I don't know why that was.
As it occurs to me, having intense bouts of diarrhea from sweet and sour chicken is quite nice when you compare it to this podcast.
That was a slightly odd review from iTunes from someone called Gully666UK. Ooh, scared of them. Which probably the gully bit isn't as scary as the 666, which probably says more about them than it does about us. And why is... Who gets bouts of diarrhea from eating sweet and sour chicken? Interestingly, that was a 5-star review for the show. So clearly Gully666UK eats sweet and sour chicken in order to have diarrhea because he or she loves that. That would get 6 stars if we could go that high.
Thursday!
I headed over to Belfast to take part in a panel show called The Blame Game, a sort of Northern Irish Have I Got News for You crossed with a Northern Irish Question Time. You can watch it on iPlayer if you're quick. But the question they wanted me to discuss was about local culture minister Nelson McCausland, who wanted creationism represented in the museums in the province. I have to agree with him on that. Creationism does belong in a museum. But it was great, wasn't it, getting the atheist English comedian to come over to Belfast to discuss religion. Thanks for that, the BBC. After they'd been done so well patching up their differences, I was going to blunder in and set it all off again. Or maybe I might finally unite Catholic and Protestant in their mutual hatred of me. Though, you know, I can see both sides. I'm not prejudiced. I think all religions have got it right when they say that all the other religions are wrong. They're so close. But and I think Protestants, they're the same thing. They're both Jesus, aren't they? And whilst I was born on the contentious Orangeman's Day, 12th of July, and my favourite fruit pastel colour is orange, I do love banging drums as well. On the other hand, I do really hate wearing condoms. So I do cover up for my workmates who've had sex with children. Don't I, Dan? So maybe I'd be okay. I learned in my research for the show that an astonishing 25% of people in Ireland supposedly believe in creationism. 1 in 4, the literal truth of the Bible and Genesis. To discuss that, will you please welcome my first guest, Ireland's Deputy Minister of Culture, Michelle Legg.
Good morning, it's lovely to be here.
So, Michelle, can you tell us what it is exactly you believe?
Well, I believe that the Holy Bible is all literally true, Richard.
Well, all of it?
Yes, I believe that the universe was created in 6 days by God and is only 6,000 years old.
Well, that's quite a difference there from the scientific estimate that the universe has been here for roughly 13.75 billion years.
Roughly? Oh, dear. You'd think that science with all its instruments and set squares and Venn diagrams could come up with something a bit more accurate. I mean, Archbishop Usher worked out the exact date
of the commencement of creation, the night before 23rd October, 4004 BC. Beat that, science! Oh, you can't, can you?
Well, no, it can't give you an exact date.
Oh, can't you? You can't, because your theories are all made up. 13.75 billion years. That's ridiculous.
Well, let's be fair to Archbishop Usher. He did live in the 17th century, so can be forgiven for being such a prick about this. But we live in the 21st century, and there's quite a lot of evidence now that suggests he was wrong. What about the work of geologists, geneticists? What about all the dinosaur bones?
I think it's pretty obvious that God put all that stuff there to test our faith, Richard, to make sure we believed in him enough.
He was extremely fastidious about that, wasn't he? He put an awful lot of evidence there to test us.
Well, yes, yes he did, but he really wanted to test our faith.
Don't you think he was already testing our faith quite a lot, though, by providing absolutely no evidence whatsoever for his existence? Except an old book which openly contradicts itself and is just one of several old books which all say different things. Isn't that enough of a test? He seems pretty needy and insecure to me, this God.
He's not needy. He just wants us to love him without us ever actually seeing him or hearing from him or even being sure that he's there. And he wants to be loved by everyone and wants him to eat his son. And if anyone doesn't love him, he'll burn them in a big lake of fire. Is that your definition of needy, Richard?
It's not my definition. It's quite a good definition of needy, though, and also of being severely mentally ill. I'm just saying believing in him needs an awful lot of faith already, so then for him to put some evidence that actually disproves his existence as well, it's kind of pushing the testing our faith to the limits, isn't it? It's almost like it's entrapment, to be honest, to make it appear, really appear to any logical mind that you don't exist, and then to punish people who follow that logic. It seems a bit mean, if nothing else.
He does it because he loves us.
Well, does he do it because he's a bit of a cunt?
As it occurs to me, everything he does, he does it because he's a bit of a cunt.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, it's me, Charlotte Church, eh? Oh, my career's going brilliant, isn't it? Tidy. I can afford as much seaweed as I can eat. And the rest of the Welsh are proper jealous of me. But oh yeah, I forgot. I'm a bit sad at the moment because I just split up with my Garvin. Oh, who'd have seen that coming? No one, that's who. I was surprised as anyone, but it's not Gav's fault, and it's not my fault either. You know whose fault it is? Bloody Sue, innit? She used her siren powers to lure Gav away from me. And she was the one having the affair with Ronan Keating and all that sex phone. Whose idea was that? Was it Sue? It bloody was Sue. I hope she's bloody happy. I fucking hate her, the cunt.
A little off script there at the end, Charlotte. So last week I discussed how writing this show... Oh, no, I'm not doing that. last week I did, though, listen back to it. I discussed how writing the show reminded me of revising for my exams at school. And if you'd come down to the previous part of the show that is not recorded, you would have heard me forget to mention that and read out the poem that I've got cut, but you'd have heard some good stuff about Steve Coogan. So anyway, it's time to go down into our audience, is it? Is that right? Yes. To find out, it's a bank holiday, to find out what they've been up to this week. Remember, it's bank holiday, they've all been drinking, so their stories may be a little bit more random than usual. Let's have a look at you, audience. Has anyone got straight in? Hello, sir, what's your name?
Leo.
Leo, I was going to say that, yeah. And what's... it's an unusual name. Where does that come from? Israel, you say. Let's move on. So what's happened to you this week? And if you've been getting onto anyone's boats, you've got to shut up now.
After last week's AI Ottoma,
after last week's AI Ottoma, AI Ottoma,
I saw someone coming out of the theatre with just a bicycle wheel.
You think they were taunting me? They so yeah, because in last week's AI Ottoma, I talked about how AI Ottoma, I talked about how my bike wheel was stolen. There was someone in the audience with a bike wheel, but presumably, I mean, they could have been my bike wheel, or they could just been a sensible person who takes their bike wheel. I mean, imagine doing that, having to carry your bike wheel every. It's not. Is it worth having a bike if you have to carry most of the parts of it around with you everywhere? Why not just kind of turn it into a little chariot that you move around? Like, they could just make it into a wheelchair, couldn't they? And kind of move around. Forget the bike. Yes, was it? You have something to say, sir? Yeah, there's a young man here. What's your name?
Connor.
It's Connor. We met him in the first half of the show. What's happened to you this week, Connor?
It's my birthday, so instead of having a party, the cheapskate dad
It's Connor's birthday tomorrow, and instead of having a party, his cheapskate dad brought him here. But he has bought you a PlayStation, hasn't he, for your birthday?
Yeah.
PlayStation 1, hasn't he? We're gonna do all the jokes we didn't do in either recording. That's very nice. 14 years old you'll be tomorrow. You'll become a man tomorrow. If your dad was any kind of dad, he would hire a prostitute and watch you making love with her. And it would be make. That's what would have happened in ancient Rome. And if your dad was Russell Brand's dad. Well, it's...
there's another thing. My English teacher
claims to be having an affair with
Ronan Keaton.
I need to ask. Did you bring
no,
that
don't
up in
ask
a lesson?
Him any details. We don't need
or
to know her name.
Or did she announce it in school assembly? How did this come about?
Don't say her name.
She just mentioned it in class.
Your teacher came into class and went, I'm going out with Ronan Keaton. You know Ronan Keaton, the married pop star? I'm shagging him. Is that how it went? No. Good work, good look. Good. Has she got his sex phone number or his normal phone number? Don't know. Don't ask me stupid questions. That's Connor there, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be 14 tomorrow. He's probably the youngest person here. Give him a round of applause. Remember when you're 14, his dad has brought him to see AI Ottoma, which will probably mean he gets put on a register. So that is... It's a big... When he's in prison, you can look back at this... There'll be some words you don't go understand. Go and tell your teacher some of it. Tell her to listen to it, to the podcast. Good value, though. The bank holiday, that's the bank holiday spirit there. Connor's had a few drinks. He's letting a few secrets slip. Anyone else got a story? It's hard to beat. Hello, in the front as well. Hello, what's your name, sir?
My name's Seth.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. We had our last day of school, so it's all over now.
Aww. So I don't want you thinking that this show is just full of children. I don't know. I attract a kind of adult audience with my very sophisticated. If you go to McDonald's and try and log into my website, it won't let you because it says it's mature content. So I think that proves how adult I am. If it said immature. So you've been at school. You're 18 though, right? So it's like proper at college or something. And you finished today. You had your exams today.
We finished on Friday.
Oh, well, that's not... Yeah, I suppose you're not on, like... But it'd be cruel to make you come in on bank holiday Monday just to finish. And so you finished your exams on Friday?
No, we still got exams.
You still got exams. Proper... You know, I did... I expect you did GCSEs, didn't you? I did proper hard O-levels from when it was difficult, when it was actually... When you got used to get A-levels, they didn't just give you them for free. You had to actually answer some questions stuff. Who's with me? Yeah! Yeah, the people over 40 in the audience, they're proving there are, proving not everyone is a teenage child. So how do you think you're going to do in your exams? That's not the good. See, that's bad. That's straight away the first question. How do you get in? I don't know. You've got to kind of answer the questions properly. What was it? The first question, what?
It was, how do you think you're going to do in your exam?
Oh, was it? And you said, I don't know. And they said, oh, wow. Existential. Postmodern. Hey, what are you studying?
English.
Maths. Russian?
Yeah.
And maths?
Yeah.
How do you say pumpkin in Russian? You have to say the word for pumpkin, but put the equivalent of the third letter of the alphabet in front of it.
I could do it racistly.
Okay. He could do it racistly. Anyone be offended against racism against the Russians here tonight? No one really cares about that, right? No, we don't. Yeah.
Kumskinski.
That was so racist. I'm sorry if we offended any of our listeners in Russia. There are many. Anyone will go for more. It's going well today. We haven't located. We managed to locate some of the nutcases in the first half of the show, and they've been cordoned off and given Hannibal Lecter style. We'll go for the first hand there. That lady, I think it's a lady. Hello, shout out.
I met David Schwimmer.
You met David Schwimmer?
Yes.
In real life.
In real life.
What was he doing? Was he swimming?
He wasn't at the time.
No. No. Not at the time. He may have been. So what was he doing?
He's patron
of the company that you work for. Was he just come in and be slightly patronising to you? Yeah, you're doing a really good job. He's what?
He made a speech.
He made a speech. Did he do any jokes about... Did he go, well, it's nice to be here amongst friends? I don't want to be the tiding of bad news, but I don't want to be the pallbearer here. Come on, you must remember that film. I did. I haven't just done Friends. I've done other stuff as well. Is that what he said?
No.
Did he come and go, you know, Jennifer Aniston, I fucked her in real life. That's what I'd do. I'd just do that, whether I had or not, Connor. I'd just come in. You know, Jennifer Aniston and the other one, the hippie one, fucked them both. At once. That's what I'd do. Right, where's my money? That's what I'd do if I was him. Did he do that? No, okay. Has anyone met anyone more exciting than David Schwimmer? You met me in Pizza Express. That beats that. What's happened to you, madam?
I went to a boxing class with Chesney Hawkes.
Yeah, listen to this. You didn't just meet David Schwimmer. She went to a boxing class with Chesney Hawkes. Who won the fight between you and Chesney Hawkes? I reckon you could take Chesney Hawkes.
Easily.
Is he as nice in real life as he appears from the one song he did? Does he come and go, I am the one and only?
His whole family there.
Oh, were they?
His brother, his child, his wife.
His child?
Yeah.
He managed to spawn a child. How's he managed to have sex and... I've not had a child. I'm better than Chesney Hawkes. I am. I've not been at number one, but, you know, I wrote a sitcom for Sky TV. I played the voice of a spider in school's TV. That's better than Chesney Hawkes. Well, that was pretty good. Has anyone else got one fantastic thing to say? Otherwise, we're going to move on. It's got to be brilliant. Yes, this person over here is confident.
I started reading your book.
You started reading my book? Nice of you to mention it, sir. Thank you very much for coming. We may come back to my book later. What do you think of it so far? You're 118 pages in, you're terribly depressed. It gets more depressing. In fact, we're about to discuss this very issue. So, it's, oh, thanks. I'm suicidally... It's made me want to kill myself. How old are you? 35?
35.
Yeah. Yeah, life's...
Yeah.
You like the bits with Emma in it, you know, but I've made those up to make her look funnier than she really is. She never actually said any of that stuff. Has any talking of Emma, has anything funny happened to you this week? Because we haven't done that because of Tiny Andrew Collins.
Well, the thing is, I because it's my birthday this week and I saw my mum and dad over the weekend, I saw them on Sunday. And has anyone here read The Bucket of Me? Okay, well, too bad. So you know the sort of character my mother is, yes. So she turned to me, Richard, and when I say to you, this literally rendered me speechless, I'm not joking. She turned to me and said, I had a dream last night and I was having an affair with Richard Herring.
If this show proves nothing else, I am a motherfucker. That's the theme running through this.
I sort of a bit of sick came up, and I said, "What do you mean you were having an affair with Richard Herring?" And she said, "I was in my dream. I was thrilled. I was absolutely thrilled because I didn't think he liked me. And apparently, you had most of your affair on Primrose Hill.
Wow, sweet.
In public." And it was apparently very passionate.
Sweet.
And that all my mother was worried about was keeping it from me. And as she was saying this, my father, who was sitting in the same room, his arms just became quite crossed like that, and he just went, "I'd cut his fucking cock off."
Just because of a dream? That wasn't even my dream. 20 years ago, honestly, I'd have been straight in there.
She was a looker.
She was.
I looked like my fucking dad.
When I was 19, I met Emma's mum for the first time, honestly. And she's still a very attractive but extremely elderly woman. Have you got a story for us, Dan?
Do you remember Tiny Danny Robbins?
I do, yes.
He used to be in the previous version.
The dead man.
Yeah,
dead
we
man.
Don't talk about it anymore. Well, I'm still friends with him because I didn't sack him from a podcast.
He's not busy, he's more popular. No, I know.
I went to his wedding in Sweden, which was very lovely, fair and sort of lovely, but unfortunately I got very, very drunk. And all I can really remember is that there was an Elvis impersonator with massive bollocks. And that the two men charged with videoing the whole wedding got very drunk and fingered a woman under the table. I only hope that Danny's memories are better than mine of the most special day of his life, really. I feel quite bad about that.
Was he just impersonating Elvis's bollocks, the Elvis impersonator? And he come on and go, "This is really what Elvis..." Not many people know, but this is an exact representation of Elvis Presley's testicles. I'm the best in the world at this.
Swing
I don't look just... much like him.
He didn't. He looked like a fat Swede in a wig, but
he did have huge bollocks. Thank you very much, Dan. And thank you to all of the stories from the audience and the cast. Sing a song.
As it occurs to me, the banks may take a holiday, but it's the people who purvey hastily written comedy for the internet. They have to work up to 18 days a year.
Hello.
No, that's wrong.
Hey there. Hello, it's me, Gary Coleman. Arnold from Offa Different Strokes, and also some other programs in which I reprised or parodied my work as Arnold from Different Strokes. It's all right, it's really me, so this voice isn't offensive. If anyone else put this voice on, I would be mortified, and they would feel quite embarrassed about it. I'm sorry. When I got to heaven recently and God told me I was dead, I said, "What you talking about, Willis?" And God said, "My name is Jehovah. I don't think this is the time for such liberty. You have died." And I said, "Sorry, God, it becomes something of a knee-jerk reaction. Why did I have to die so young? Why did you take me? Is Ray Allen looking for a new ventriloquist dummy?" And God said, "No, seriously, it's not time for lame jokes." And I said, "Sorry, I'm upset. Why was I taken, oh Lord?" And he said, "It was Sue, wasn't it? It was her fault. It's always fucking Sue." And the world don't move to the beat.
To be fair, I did just write that in the interval between the first two halves. So he's done very well to...
Weirdly, I can do the other brother really well.
Friday.
Friday saw the launch of the much-anticipated Apple iPad, and the nation seems split into two main camps, the people who think it's brilliant without knowing what it actually does, and the people who think it's shit without knowing what it actually does. There's a third camp for people who think they might actually have a look at one and see what it can do before deciding if it's any good or not, but I'm the only person in that camp. The rest of you are fucking idiots. But one of the people who has made up their mind already and has an iPad is TV's Emma Kennedy, and here she is with a new feature... TV's Emma Kennedy's Apple iPad. Is it shit or is it good?
TV's Emma Kennedy's Apple iPad. Is it shit or is it good? 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 Shit, good, shit, good, shit, good. Is it shit or is it good? Shit or good?
It is good.
TV's Emma Kennedy's Apple iPad. Is it shit or is it good? 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 Shit good, shit good, shit good. Is it shit or is it good? It is good.
To Dan. Yeah. I see you back. Do you have an Apple iPad?
No, I don't. I have a baby, Richard, so I don't really have any spare time to twat around playing games and writing blogs and watching Glee on a glorified Etch-a-Sketch. And if I did have £500 spare pounds kicking about, then I would spend it on nappies and baby wipes.
Yeah, would you get anything for your baby, though, Dan? Zing! Yeah, zing!
Yeah, yeah, all right, you zinged me.
Zing! I zinged you. So, if I offered, just out of curiosity, okay. If I offered to swap the baby for an iPad?
Right, look, sorry, are you actually going to do that? Because I don't want to answer the question and end up having to get chucked out of the house if it turns out to be hypothetical.
It was hypothetical, I don't have one.
Then I would not swap. And can I just add that I wouldn't have done it even if it wasn't hypothetical either, if she's listening.
Dan Tetzel's tiny baby. Is it shit or is it good? 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 Shit good, shit good, shit good. Is it shit or is it good? Shit or good?
Well, I have to say it's good, don't I?
Dan Tetzel's tiny baby. Is it shit or is it good? Is it shit or is it good? Is it shit or is it good? Shit good, shit good, shit good. Is it shit or is it good? It is good, although the answer seems slightly tentative.
Well, we've both babies and iPads are good so far by that song. Anyway, you've only got yourself to blame, Tetzel. If you'd put your tiny, tiny winky into a lady's clack-a-lack-a-dack-dack without a little rubber thing on the end, then you have to take the consequences. Oh, how I love my disposable income. It's brilliant. So anyway, Emma's got her iPad.
Yes.
Here is an actual iPad.
Here it is. Look,
can take us. Look at that. It's the
look
real
at that.
Thing.
Look at that,
it's got
Connor.
Fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, it's
it.
Got fingerprints. Look, look at it.
Look at that, Con. That's what you could have had if your dad was a good dad and bought you good presents. If I was 14, I'd love one of those. What do you think of that? It's exciting. Would you, Connor, seeing it's your birthday, would you like to have Emma Kennedy's iPad? To take away, plus all the porn she's already put on it. Just float. Is it good or not? You have to say it's good because you've got one. That's the way it works. You've invested your time and money in it, so you have to say.
Quick, let's play Angry Birds, everyone.
What level of Angry Birds are you on, Emma? Is the heckle?
I've actually done all the levels, and I have 3 stars for all of them. So swivel on that.
How many golden eggs have you found? Comes the heckle from the surprising
found,
nerd
I've
in the
found
audience.
I've all of them. I've got all the golden eggs. I've got all the stars. I am merely waiting for the next level to be released. Thank you very much.
This is some of the worst podcasting I've ever heard.
Anyway, Emma, should I get one is the question.
Yeah, well, you know you're going to get one, so
yeah,
just get one.
I will. Ian Apple will be delighted.
As it occurs to me, not sponsored by Apple, which makes this extended advertisement all the more of an embarrassment.
iFriday.
I don't know if I've mentioned it, but my new book, How Not to Grow Up, has been out for a month now, and if you haven't bought a copy yet, then you have no one to blame except Sue. It's quite a frank look at my life and some of the more embarrassing excesses that I've been up to, certainly 2 or 3 years ago, and I've been quite worried about my parents getting hold of a copy and reading it. Now, I mean, no parent, I think, should have to read this stuff about their own child, but my mum was insistent. She got a copy and started reading it. I was a few weeks ago, I rang her and she said,
I'm on page 150. Am I over the worst bit yet?
No, mum. No, you're not. As anyone who has bothered to pay me back for these hours of free entertainment by buying my book would know, the worst probably comes in chapter 11, in which, spoiler alert, I'm involved in a grubby threesome in which one of the participants attempts to insert an empty champagne bottle into my anus without my consent. I'm not proud of this. Yeah, I am proud. I'm not. I'm kind of proud of it. But I think that was the worst. That's worse than anything my mum had yet read, and something no mother should ever have to read about their own child. And I was worried once she got to that bit, she would disown me. In fact, I haven't spoken to her since and thought she might have done because of these awful secrets. But she emailed me this week and said,
the book was exactly what I was expecting.
Hold on, the book was exactly what she was expecting. Really? So when she'd sat down to read it, before she'd read any of it, this happened.
So, Keith, I'm about to start reading Richard's book.
Ah, old Richie, Ricardo, Richelieu, what are you expecting, Barbara?
Well, obviously Richard's never directly spoken to us about his love life and he's our much-loved son, of whom we could think no ill. But I'm pretty much expecting there to be at least one bit where he has a threesome and a girl he's just met tries to insert a champagne bottle into his arse. Yes, that's exactly what I'm expecting. In fact, I'll be disappointed if that doesn't happen.
What if it's a wine bottle?
No, Keith, no, it's got to be a champagne bottle or my expectations will be confounded.
Well, maybe the girl might just put it in his mouth.
No, Keith, it has to be into his anus. My son's unwilling anus.
Well, I hope your expectations are confirmed. It's a very specific thing to be expecting. I don't want you to be disappointed if you don't end up reading about a champagne bottle being inserted into your youngest son's reluctant rectum during a threes-up.
Well, I bloody well better read about that, Keith. It is exactly what I'm expecting and there'll be hell to pay if it doesn't happen.
So when she got to page 218, which if you can't bother to read the rest of it is where it is, she must have said,
oh, it's all right, Keith. He's just had a champagne bottle pushed into his clenched arsehole as he was taking part in a threesome.
Oh, just like you expected. What a relief.
Oh, yeah. Told you. You can tell that's the sort of thing he'd do.
To be honest, I'm quite offended that my mum was unsurprised by this incident. Andrew Collins was very surprised and I think aroused by it, but my mum, with no indication from me, just naturally assumes I'm the kind of person to have a champagne bottle inserted into my anus whilst having a threesome. What kind of whore does she assume I am? And I mean, admittedly, I did have a champagne bottle placed into my most secret area during a menage a trois, but that's no excuse for my mum to be exactly expecting it. I don't think I can ever forgive her for having such a low and correct opinion of me. The stupid Bobby Robson-faced termagant.
Friday!
Also on Friday, I flew back. Do you enjoy that, Connor? Also on Friday... Suddenly it was Richard Herring was my hero. I had his picture on all my... Now I'm a bit scared. What is this adult world, Daddy? Will this happen to me when I'm 16? Also on...
If you're lucky.
If you're really lucky, Colin. Also on Friday, I flew back from Belfast. On every other leg of the trip, the BBC had paid for a cab to take me or collect me from the airport, so I'd kind of assumed there'd be one waiting for me, and I was a bit early, so I sat by the gate waiting for a driver to arrive, holding a sign with my name on it. But he didn't arrive. And excitingly, though, there was one driver there with the name of Tam DL on it, the 78-year-old Scottish baronet and ex-Labour MP who was critical of the sinking of the Belgrano, but less critical of an MP claiming £18,000 for three bookcases just before his retirement from Parliament, which was him. I found out that no cab had been organised to take me home, and had I been an edgier and more insane comedian with an eye on creating an interesting sketch for this week's show, I'd have gone up to the driver and pretended I was Tam DL and got a free lift home. I didn't, though. I just got the Heathrow Express instead. If only I could turn back time. Thanks to the magic of AI Otima, I can.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently?
Me, my good man, are you waiting for Tam DL?
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Okay, that's me. I am Tam DL. That's who I am, so let's go into the car. Take me home.
You're not Tam DL.
Och, och. Och, but I am Tam DL, the 11th Baronet of the Bins. What was going on with that General Belgrano, no way. I'm going to be Welsh. Ridiculous. Hasn't it? Okay, now I don't know where they put the car for, but I want to go to Shepherd's Bush first to pick up a bookcase of some kind.
Yeah, but you're not him. Tam DL is 78 years old.
Oh, okay, my poor wee bacow. Can you carry my rucksack full of haggis for me? Because I am old and lang and lang.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of Tam DL. We don't look anything like you.
That's because I had plastic surgery. I was very canny. I got it on expenses just before I left the House of Commons. Now time is a-wasting. Let's go to the car.
No, get away from me. Look, there's the real Tam DL.
Okay, I'm Tam DL. Are you my driver? No, the dude.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Tam DL. No, I'm Tom Dial. I misread your sign. It so you know you can see that now. It's an odd coincidence.
Yeah. Go on, hop it before I call the police.
Tam, mate, you're not going through Shepherd's Bush on your way.
Most certainly no.
Give us a lift, mate. There's a free bookcase in it for you.
Mate, the bookcase worth thousands of pounds.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Come along with me, then, you wee sassana.
If I could turn back time, what would I do differently? I tricked Tam DL into giving me a lift in return for a non-existent bookcase. If I could turn back time.
And that is why you should always carry a mask of Tam DL around with you, just in case, because that will pull off the stunt. You get a free cab out if you do that, if you just happen to be on the same flight as him. And now over to Christian Riley for another one of his songs.
I'm going to do a song. It's kind of a personal thing because, Richard's always saying I don't say anything about my life. So there's an interesting thing happened to me. I was cooking a meal and it needed basmati rice. And we didn't have any. And I was looking around and we had some brown rice instead. So that's what this song's about.
I was cooking last night, I thought I'd run out of rice. Babe, I didn't know what to do. I was halfway out the door and baby, then I recall I still had a bag of you. Brown rice, it never worked out between us in the past. Baby, brown rice, maybe this time will be different to last. Covered you in water and I set you to boiling 20 minutes like you said on your pack. Half an hour later, baby, you still taste like paper. Bad memories came flooding back. Brown rice, how can you take so long? Brown rice and still taste so wrong. Your texture, your consistency, it never really did for me, even with a special sauce. No matter what I do with you, you're just so goddamn hard to chew. And I can't close my eyes and pretend you're risotto anymore. There ain't no easy way to say it, baby, I've been compensating with condiments for years. And every time it's just me and you, I need something to get me through. Baby, dry your tears. Because there comes a time in every man's life when he's just got to look himself in the mirror and realize his life's just become all about sesame oil and soy sauce and sear tuna steak and sweet roasted vegetables, expensive ice cream and cake. Anything but brown rice and the emptiness that it leaves inside. Baby, a man's just got to say, I don't like brown rice. Goodbye, brown rice. There is no subtext to this song.
Christian Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Christian Riley. He actually has some talent, which is not fair.
Hello. It's me, Sue. To be honest, I'm pretty affronted by all those jokes from people blaming me for stuff. I've been working as a loyal advisor to the Labour Party since the 1970s and have served Gordon Brown for 13 years without complaint. And in actual fact, had nothing to do with Bigotgate, which Gordon acknowledges as his own error. I just don't know why I've turned into this scapegoat. Who did this to me? Was it me? Was I the one who stitched me up? I deserve a peerhood for having put up with being me. I hate fucking me.
Well, that's pretty much the end of the show there, with an attack on a recent peer. In fact, I tweeted a joke similar to that stuff about Sue, and I got the most complaints I've ever had from very humorous members of the Labour Party. Anyway, she has nothing to do. She's a very nice woman. Yes, I know, it's a joke. Anyway, well, that's pretty much the end of the show. Please do come down and see us live if you can. We're at the Leicester Square Theatre for the next three Mondays, then at the Bloomsbury Theatre on June the 28th and July the 5th. All details at www.richardherring.com. I'll be at the Hay Festival next Sunday if you want to hear me reading from my new disgusting book, How Not to Grow Up. Or you can just buy a copy and read it for yourself, page 218. So, we'll be, and all around it. We'll be back next week with more crazy shenanigans and... strange. Usually at this point, someone interrupts the proceedings with a kind of deus ex machina kind of end to the show. It seems this week we're going to be able to end without some men are shouting willies. I don't think that is enough. I mean, I've spent 20 years kind of... honing my script writing skills, and I think if I just ended a show with two independent men shouting willies, I do not think that would be good enough. I'm sorry. It seems this week we're going to be able to end without a callback to something else that's happened in the script. It's good to see us breaking that kind of formula.
Hold on a minute.
I spoke too soon. Who is that?
Oh, how quickly you forget, Richard. It's me.
Mrs. Collings?
Yes, that's right. It's me, Tiny Andrew Collingsmore. I'm so proud of him and all that he has done. Aside, I'm not really. I wish I was Stuart McConey's mum.
What are you doing here, Mrs. Collings? Don't tell me something terrible has happened to Tiny Andrew. He hasn't killed himself in grief, has he, because we didn't let him present this show?
No, he is alive and well. No. Now, this is nothing to do with him. Do you not remember that earlier on when I released you from that chair you were taped to, we made sweet, sweet love?
Yeah, look, I'm sorry about that. I'm embarrassed. I got a bit carried away. You know, it just turns me on to be restricted. I needed some release. It's nothing. I didn't mean anything.
Well, it's a pity your animal instincts got the better of you, because you spilled your seed within me. And now I am pregnant. I wanted you to use a condom, but you said you didn't want to offend the Pope.
Well, I thought I'd be all right. You must be about 70 years old. I thought you were safe.
No, I'm only 50. I had Andrew when I was 5. It's a Northampton way, so I am still fecund.
How can you know you're pregnant? Anyway, it's only been 45 minutes ago we did it.
The women of Northampton are a strange, chimp-like species. And our gestation period is much shorter than normal humans.
Yeah, I don't think our sophisticated audience will buy that.
But it's also to do with that crack in space that's in this series of Doctor Who.
Damn, I think our audience will buy that.
The bump containing the spawn of our unholy union is already visible. You will be a father within a week.
I really must try and get more sleep before I write these scripts. It wasn't me who made you pregnant. It was Sue. She did this. This is Sue's baby.
No, she didn't. This devil child is yours.
Oh, I'm going to have a baby, and it will be Andrew Collings' step-sibling. This is the worst thing that has ever happened to me. My girlfriend is going to be pretty cross with me about this, I can tell you.
I am your girlfriend now.
Yes, that's right.
Oh,
you want to have a child with my mum. Mm. Hello, Mum, by the way.
Hello, Andrew. It's lovely to see you. Aside, it isn't. Did you like that packed lunch I made you?
Yes, I did, Mother. Aside, I didn't. The banana was all mashed up and brown, and my trio bar had melted.
Oh, that's a shame. Aside, no, it's not.
Anyway, nice to catch up. So you know what this means, Richard?
This is the most disgusting thing that's ever happened in humanity's existence.
No, it means that next week you will have to take paternity leave to look after your new spawn. And who is the first person anyone calls when a broadcaster falls pregnant? Which Sony Gold-winning presenter will be stepping in to present the whole show, just like he promised he would? It is me.
Yeah, I got that.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure if you'd understood.
But how have you, my fictional creation, managed to manipulate reality in this way and outsmart me?
I have transgressed the boundaries betwixt fantasy and religion, and I've become flesh. Flesh! I live! Oh, you played God like that bloke who made a bacteria in a petri dish by spunking up in it. And now you must cope with the consequences of your actions. Go, off you go! Go! Look after my pregnant mother, your pregnant wife.
But if I have a baby, then I can't have an iPad.
There'll be no iPads where you're going. Northampton.
Yes, come on, my love. You must come and set up home with me and Andrew's dad.
No!
And I will be back next week for another episode of AI Attack! AI Attack! Goodbye!
As It Occurs to Me was written by Sue and performed by Richard Herring with Dan Tessler and me, Tiffany Emma Kennedy. Christian Wiley did all the musical bits and it was produced by Ben Walker and Sue. With thanks to Damien Caldwell, Kelly Enfield, Alice Russell, the Robert Sochmere and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. A special thanks to Orange Mark, Sue and the British Comedy Guide. This is an Avalon Sky Potato Fuzz Productions Club, and if you didn't like it, then blame Sue.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. RichardHerring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. Do come and say hello after the show if enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.